Praise God. You may be seated. We are on part 7 of a series that we're doing on understanding the mind from the Bible perspective. And afterwards, we will bring about a little bit of materials from our research on what the world perceives the mind to be, so that we can relate it to what the Bible is saying as compared to the interpretation and the philosophies that the world has. Let's look at a new passage of scripture on the mind, and that's taken from the book of James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. And if your translation is the same like mine, which is the New King James, you can follow along. Otherwise, you can read your version as well as follow along on the transparency or on the projector. In James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, there's a context there, so let's read verse 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So there's a scripture here. It talks about a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That phrase is repeated in James chapter 4 when he asks us to draw near to God in verse 7 and verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, he uses the phrase double-minded. The phrase said double-minded comes from the Greek word diasuke, which is the combination of the word suke, which is romanized as P-S-Y-C-H-E. Yes. Suke, P-S-U. Yeah. P-S-U-Y-C-H-E. Suke. Okay. And so you add a D-I in front of it, it becomes diasuke. Now, we realize that the word suke is not normally translated mind. Most of the time in the Bible, it's translated as the word soul, the soul. So, strictly speaking, we could have translated this portion a double soul. But obviously, you can see the translators are struggling. If they put the word double soul, no one will understand what they mean, because we all know we have only one soul. But they put the word double mind, which also needs explanation. But looking at the original, when they put diasuke, which means double soul, which is what the Bible was trying to convey, we need to look deeper into the word soul. Double soul. How can that be a double soul when we only have one soul? Praise the Lord. A double soul. Okay. Cut down in the middle. And we all only have one soul, so double soul. We know we can have many thoughts, and we can have almost like two minds. We know there are two parts of our brain, the right brain and the left brain, that try to function together. And so double soul is a very strange expression. Daisuke. To look at it, let's explore the meaning of the word soul. We all know that soul is used generally. And if you were to translate the word soul, suke, it would be like life. In fact, they qualify in some of the lexicon as animal life. The Hebrew expression of soul is the word nephesh. Nephesh. And that's sometimes translated actually from the word life. And it means life. And sometimes it means animal life. Nephesh. Although there's another Hebrew word for life, which we will look at as we go later. But for now, diasuke, double soul, what does it mean? How does it affect us? And it is something that the Bible tells us not to have. Don't have a double soul. What is our soul? What portion of it? We know we have a spirit being. We know there's a soul part of us. We know there's a physical part of us. That one, none of us doubt. Right. We know there's a spiritual part of us, but there's a soul part of us. What constitutes the soul part of us? And as we try to explore what is soul, we realize that it's very hard to describe. So we can all go home now, right? You can describe. Okay, soul, what is soul? Could be feelings. And let's go a little bit deeper. What are emotions? Emotions are part of our soul. Intellect is a part of our soul. A free choice is a part of our soul. So most people, when they study and you read books and research on soul, they try to say that, you know, there's a part of our soul, there's a free will, a volition part, an intellect, and an emotion. The intellect we all can sort of comprehend, the part of us that think and visualize. But feelings, emotions, that's something deeper. Feelings, soul. What are emotions? Emotions to the world and to many humanists is just a result of chemicals surging through your bloodstream. Hormones or chemicals, and so they try to alter your state of being by giving you chemicals. And everything is explained as either a hormone or pheromone, or a chemical signal that changes everything about you. The only problem that they have with that is that a cause or an effect? Did the chemicals cause your mood to swing, or did your mood cause the chemicals to be produced in your body? That is one question they cannot answer. I know some of you keep up to date with research, and they are saying now they found that there's almost a gene for everything, and there's some part of the brain, and they try to explain a lot of things in this life as genetic. And so we have moved. Have you noticed that our society over the past 100 years, we have moved from the debate of nature versus nurture to nature. Everything is nature, genetic. It's no more nurture. Your upbringing caused you to be who you are. No more. They're not saying your upbringing caused you to be who you are. Now they're trying to lean. And everything is a genetic cause. We've leaned over on this side of the debate. Which is sad, because I believe the balance is both. You could take Albert Einstein's genes. And I know it's illegal, but just for the sake of hypothetical illustration, and you clone it. So you produce someone that looks exactly like him with the same brain power physically and everything. Unfortunately, that person was recruited by the mafia at the age of 3. He would not become Albert Einstein, I can assure you. He'll become Alberto Masoluni or somebody like that. And he would be brilliant, but in a different area. So we realize that genetics alone, you know, cannot do everything. You would need nurturing too, to bring you to the right process. And the balance, the answer is both nature and nurture causes us to be who we are. The percentage is where the problem is. And I realized that about probably a year or so ago, they think that they discovered some cause of some like homosexual behavior. They say, oh, there's certain part of their brain that's smaller than others and all, everything. And you know the problem? They're trying to say that that is the cause, when it could be the result of years of living in that. Science is not the answer, as we know. It doesn't provide all the moral or ethical issues. Now back to our debate. What are emotions? The humanist says emotions are just chemicals or hormones surging through your body. But we all know that in practical sense, you seem to be more on that. And that sometimes a physical state of being or mental state can cause certain hormones to be increased. Just a simple act of petting a dog. They found produce nice hormones flowing through your being. So the next time you're angry, go and pet the dog. So we realize some mental states cause the opposite side. So the chemicals may not be the cause, they could be the effect of that, whatever emotion, is something else. What are emotions? When a person is angry, when a person is sad, when a person is depressed, when a person is down, what is that? What quality of being is that? In the end, you can all generalize everything to be a part of our soul. Something within our soul has all those feelings that we have. And sometimes the Bible says, when it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Remember last week, we mentioned that all words have information, facts, but they also have an additional thing we call the quality. All words contain not just information. All words contain spiritual, emotional undertones. So it's not just the information. And let's go back to our 6 feet tall kangaroo. Right? It's a revival of kangaroos. So imagine right now, in your mind, I use the words 6 feet tall red kangaroo standing in the front. In your minds, you picture a kangaroo, red, 6 foot tall, and standing there. That is the information I provided. But all your emotions are different. Stephen, you know, from his life, as he shared with me, been shooting kangaroos. So in his mind, he sees as a target to be shot. A pest. Right. Some of you may have a inkling for kangaroo meat. Very few of you. And so when you talk about 6 foot tall kangaroo, you'll be thinking, you're having a nice feeling, and you could imagine a pot of, a cauldron of kangaroo soup, replacing that 6 foot tall kangaroo. The same information is producing different emotions. All words, remember, all words contain emotions. All words contain a spiritual quality. John chapter 6 verse 63, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. So his words doesn't just have information, his words contain a spiritual flow. It is almost virtually impossible to have words without emotions. Maybe when we have synthetic speech produced by a computer, which doesn't sound nice. And they try to make the computer produce a sound, etc. In the end, what they have done today is to have some human person read whatever words and pronounce whatever sounds, and then they synthesize the human words, and because it's from the human source, there's still some emotions. A little bit, maybe not so much, but there's that. Whatever we do has emotions. If that is true, then we go back to the fact when a person have a double soul, it could mean that they have